Thank you very much, Blaine, and thank you. We have a wonderful District CA president. I've worked with quite a number. In fact, Frank makes, what, fourth or fifth or sixth one I've worked with here in Oklahoma. He's got a lot of ideas. He's enthusiastic. He's dedicated. He's hardworking. And I want you to give a great round of applause for Frank Cargill and his lovely family. Will you do that? Thank you very, very much. God bless you. I've been looking forward to this camp for a long, long time. And I'm so glad that you're here. Tonight, I'm going to ask this whole row across here, if you don't mind, to help me with my message. I have some cards here. I have these printed up for my camps this summer. And I want to see that everybody gets one of these cards. Now please don't go down the aisle and hand somebody a handful of them. I don't have enough cards for that. At every camp, somebody always wants a few extra ones, and we try to get them a few if they request them. But if you'll count them out, please, that everyone gets a card. This row over here, this front row here, this front row here. Would you mind volunteering and coming up to help me? Thank you very much. I appreciate you. There you are.
All right.
Stop it, Blaine, if it's running until I get back.
I said I wasn't here to get one of the cards, but somebody else did. I want you to know it has revolutionized and changed my life. And that certainly didn't make me feel bad at all. Open your Bibles now to Genesis. Keep your card out. But open your Bibles to Genesis, the first chapter, and the 26th verse. I'm not trying to be smart or anything like that, but I don't know of anybody, anywhere, that passes out an outline to a sermon before they speak. And this summer is my very first time to do it. Genesis, the first chapter, the 26th verse. I want you to read that with me in unison aloud, if you will, please. That's the first book in the Bible. All the way over to the left of your Bible. The first book, the first chapter, the 26th verse. Now I have a King James Version, and there are a lot of versions and paraphrases of the Bible. And I'll read out of the King James Version. I feel like whatever's good enough for Paul is good enough for me. And you read out of whatever version you have. Here we go now, Genesis 1:26, and I want you to read it out loud, all right? And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.
Did you turn it over and turn it on? You did. Okay.
Christians ought to have more fun, and I believe we do have more fun.
Right.
No hangovers from too much booze here tonight. Oh, yeah, thank God to be a Christian. If I've offended anybody here tonight, it's an error of the mind, not the heart, because life is like climbing a slippery hillside. You're graduating seniors and you're coming on seniors. You take a few steps forward and then you slide back some. You take a few more steps forward.
He starts out with a little boy. When he gets ready to make a woman,
He starts out with a little girl. That's all that God has to make men and women out of. Now the first one he made, he scooped up some dust and formed man and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And then he put man to sleep and took a rib from him and made a woman. God doesn't do that anymore. Only one time did he do that. Now I don't know what kind of a marriage vow that Adam and Eve had. I think maybe when God made a man, he said, I could do a lot better than that. And he made a woman. And he did do better than that. Well, the women agree. Don't you men agree also? Yes, sir. You better believe it. Now, what kind of marriage ceremony? If God asked Eve, will you take this man to be your lawful wedded wife? I have an idea. She probably would have said, who else? Today, ladies and gentlemen, God is still in the man and woman making business. Did you know that you are an original? You are exclusive. Of all the people who've ever lived, of all the people who live today, of all the people who will ever live out in the future, there has not, is not, and never will be anyone just like you. God made you special. He took time to make you an individual. You are an original. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no one in the world that looks more like God than you. Genesis 1:26 said, we are created in the image of God. If we're created in the image of God, then God has all the qualities we have. We talk about the emotion of love, and that is one of God's emotions. But God has all the emotions we do. He has the emotion of hatred. There are seven things the Bible says that God hates. He has the emotion of jealousy. One of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before God. God doesn't want you worshiping any other god. God has the emotion of grief. The Bible said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. God has the ability to be sad. It repented him that he made man. God has the ability to laugh. He has a sense of humor. If he didn't, he wouldn't have made you and me and a few other people and the monkeys. But he has a very keen sense of humor. The Bible says he will laugh at your calamity. He will mock when your fear comes. If it's wrong for people to laugh, every parent in the country gets every one of their children started out sinning from the very beginning. Have you ever noticed, young parents particularly, with their firstborn child, every child after just a few days old, and if anybody cheek and shake, and after a while the greatest is little, he didn't smile, he's tired of poking him in the cheek and on the chin. He didn't have the ability to say, stop that, stupid, you hurt me, Dr. Zink. You are an original. Have you ever seen some lady with a dress that was a Paris original walk around and say, this is from Paris? It costs $1,000 a square inch. Why do women want mix? A polecat will keep them just as warm. The only animal that needs a meat is a meat. That's right. What would you think an original Picasso would be worth? A Rembrandt, a Stradivarius. What do you suppose the first automobile that Henry Ford made would be worth if you owned it? Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, all the money that Henry Ford had, he never owned a Cadillac in his life? That's true. That is really true. So you are an original. I want you to know you're precious. Absolutely. You're great. God made you just the way that you are. And somebody wants to put you down and say, hey, look, I am an original. I am an exclusive. There is not, has not been, and never will be anyone like me. I want you to know God took time out to make me alone, and nobody else in this world does like me. Pat yourself on the back a little bit. Come on, will you? Just reach back there and pat yourself on the back a little bit. Now look at Psalms 139. Psalms 139. And I want us to read that out loud. That's in about the middle of the Bible, somewhere along there. That's still in the Old Testament. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, if that'll help you. Psalms 139. And I want to look at the 14th verse. And let us read it in unison aloud, if you will. Here we go now. Ready? How many have not found it yet? Psalms, okay, we'll wait just another moment or two. Psalms 139. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and so forth. Right in there in about the middle of your Bible. 14th verse. Here we go. Ready? Everybody read. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Let's read that second line now on your card. On your card. Everybody in unison aloud. Here we go. Yes, I am important. Come on, again. Yes, I am important. You better believe that too, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to think about the telegraph system for just a moment. How this operates. A few little dots and dashes, and a message can be sent to you, I love you very, very much. But think about the nervous system of mankind. It is more intricate, it is more detailed, and it is faster than the telegraph system. For an example, you put your hand on a hot stove, and immediately, there's a message that goes from your hand to your brain and says, move your hand, dummy! You're going to get burned! Boy, I want you to know, boom, just like that. As soon as you put it down, you jerk it back. You know, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God made you an individual. You are important. Don't you dare make fun of God's creation. And some girls are so disturbed if they discover that one earlobe is 1/32nd of an inch shorter than the other earlobe. It's like everybody going around with a magnifying glass, seeing it, noticing that sort of thing. Boys, when they're getting ready to impress the girls, they want to know if there's more fluff in the stuff, you know. They really want to impress them. How wonderfully were made your eyes. You can't walk up to anybody and say, hey, look at me. I want to show you how small I can make my pupils. Hey, look at the real throat. I want to show you how big I can expand them. You hear about the cross-eyed school teacher who couldn't control her pupils? That's all right, don't go back there. Didn't work. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your pupil in your eye, the size of it depends upon the strength of the light. The weaker the light, the bigger your pupil becomes. The stronger the light, the smaller the pupil becomes. Take breathing for example. Isn't it wonderful? You didn't even think about breathing, did you? Until I mentioned it, you were just breathing anyway. Did you ever stop to think about when you go to bed at night, you lay down, you better plug in your breather? You might wake up the next morning not breathing, don't you see? But you just continue to breathe. Isn't that just marvelous? Isn't that wonderful? Praise God forever. You are fearful. spiritually and wonderfully made. You know, we have some muscles that are very, very important to us. You can tell how close you're getting with a spoonful of food without looking at it. You can feed yourself, and if you're going to have proper etiquette, you shouldn't be looking down at your plate anyway. Yeah, no, you bring your food to your mouth, and I'll guarantee you when that elbow bends, that mouth will fly open, and you'll stick that fork or spoon right in there. If you didn't have that little intricate control, you might brand it up your nose, you know. That could be bad. Your ear gets the itchy, you know how to put your finger up there. If you didn't, you might run your finger through your head on the other side of the scrap. You don't have to arch those eyebrows. You don't push your eyeballs out when you start those eyelashes and eyebrows. You know how? You got these little tiny muscles that tell you exactly how to control them. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Now I want you to turn to 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and the 8th verse. And where in the world was that located? Way back over there in the New Testament. Way over to the right, you know. You might go over to Revelations and turn back, or to Revelation and turn back. 1 Timothy 4:8. 1 Timothy 4:8. I want us to read that. Everybody found it? Who hasn't found it yet? Oh, we still have a few. Go way over to the right now and start shifting back to your left. Oh, there's Revelation, and there, come on back here to Jude, Peter, so on and so forth. You get over there to 2 Timothy, you're almost there. Get to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 4:8. Now, let's read it together, will you? For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable in all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Now I want you to read that third statement down there, that third sentence, if you don't mind. Okay, here we go. Yes, I choose to be a winner. Raise the roof about 6 inches. Yes, I choose to be a winner. God would not make us in His image and want us to be mediocre. God made you to be successful. God made you to be a winner. I wonder if Frank Cargill would say to Tony, Tony, you'll never be a good singer. You might make an average singer, but you'll never be a good singer. How many parents tell their children when the children draw something? You'll never be an artist. I heard about an artist, famous artist that died the other day. He couldn't draw his last breath. Hello. Bad, bad. Strike it from the record. Hello. How the parents who say that little boy, little girl, look at it, look at it. Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. I remember when I came in for lunch one day and my daughter had baked a pie. Oh, I bragged on it. Oh, that's good. I'm proud of my little girl. Oh, that's wonderful. You're going to be a great cook. Ooh, that's delicious. My wife got me around the corner and said, George, you wouldn't think that pie was so good if you knew how many times she dropped that dough on the floor, was you? Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Yes, I choose to be a winner. Now, ladies and gentlemen, all kids are not responsible if they don't turn out to be winners, because some people help them to not be winners. Let's look at it, if you don't mind, for just a moment, like it really is. 9 months you grew inside your mother's body, and I want you to know you were living the life of Riley. You never had to clean up your room or hang up your clothes, nor brush your teeth or comb your hair. Boy, you were fed and clean. You never got cold. You never got too hot. The temperature was always just right. You laid there for 9 months on your water bed and took it easy. I want you to Oh, you said this is great. And then all of a sudden, you were jerked out into this world with cold hands, with men that had gloves on so they couldn't detect a crime, and they assaulted you. Cut that umbilical cord and got blood. And a lot of people go through life trying to find some place to plug that thing back in. They like that idea of being waited on and cared for. You know, give me plenty of money to spend, a bed to sleep on, wash my clothes, give me an automobile, and put a telephone in my house, and I'll let you use it every once in a while. Oh, yeah, give me an automobile to drive, wait on me, you know. But my friend, you're on your own. Can you imagine this sort of thing? And then all of a sudden, things began to turn differently for you. You began to face some situations. I'm going to repeat a few lines, and if you've heard these lines before, I want you to raise your hand. Has anyone ever told you, you always look a mess? Has anybody ever heard those lines? A few of you have. Try this one. You don't mean the death of me yet! And got a few more votes on that. Can't you do anything right? What a vote they have on that. You're lying to me. Listen to this. What a stupid thing you just did! And you're like, oh, yeah. How about this one? I told you so! Oh, yeah. How about this one? You are so dumb! Look at that! Look at that! How about this one? You're never gonna make it! Some have heard that one. We vote you to be the most likely to succeed in driving all the teacher nuts. Have you ever heard that one? Oh, a few of you heard that one. Every once in a while, somebody comes along and says, you did a good job. I'm proud of you. That was a great thing you did. Have you heard those kind of words? Oh, praise God. Wonderful. Wonderful. I love you. I could be a better person if I was around you more. Last winter, spring sometime, I called a man, and when he came to the telephone, I want you to know, I lived off of his greeting for the whole day. He said, good morning, it's a good day. Praise God, I'm alive. I'm glad to be a child of God. I hope everything's all right with you. But I begin to shout. Nearly every morning when I get out of the bed, I say something like this. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad therein. Amen. Thank you. Nearly every morning I repeat these words. What I did yesterday I should have done is done. What I did I should not have done, I cannot go back and undo. What I should have done and I didn't do, I cannot go back tomorrow and do that. Tomorrow is a promissory note. I don't know whether I'll be here today, tomorrow or not. But today, grand and glorious today, I have today. I'm going to live this day for God. I'm going to turn a test from my head to my smile and be kind. Thank you very much. Oh, hallelujah. But I call a few people every once in a while. You know? Answer the telephone. Hello? What do you want? Oh, it bugs me to call somebody. I'm calling for John Doe, and the telephone rang, the voice, hello? I said, I'd like to speak to John Doe. He ain't here. Is he, can I reach him by telephone? He's out of town. Can I reach him by telephone? No. Will he be back next week?
Oh, I hang up that telephone.
Would it have been much nicer if it said, good morning, how are you today? What can I do for you? Well, I'd like a more $1 million, you know. I'd like to speak to John Doe. I'm very sorry, but he isn't in his office right now. Could I take a message or a number? He's out of town and won't be back until next week. I understand that. That's fine. That's good. The whole world isn't sitting waiting for George Braswell to call. And I know that. But just have to pull and pump every little bit of information, or it just burns me up. Amen. But I like to get out of bed, do 35 push-ups. You know? I'm down to that. Oh, thank God. I want to live this day for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I want to live it for Him. Absolutely. Thank you. Somebody asked me not long ago, said, George, are you always happy? No, but I try not to let other people know. Are you always ever this like this? No, listen, every time we see you, you're just like this. Oh, no, I have some bad days, but why bother somebody else with that sort of thing? Why depress somebody else? Why make somebody else feel bad? I want to tell you a little story, if you don't mind. The Japanese have a little tree that grows 18 inches tall. They call it the bonsai tree, B-O-N-Z-I. What they do when that tree sprouts and starts growing, they cut off the feeder roots and the tap roots, and it looks like a full-grown tree, but it never gets any taller than 18 inches. Out in the redwoods, the sequoias in California, there's one tree out there that extends 271 feet high. They call it the General Sherman. You could drive an automobile through the trunk of that tree. It has been mathematically calculated that if that tree was cut down and sawed into wood, we could build 35 five-room houses out of that one tree. But the bonsai tree and the General Sherman at one time weighed 1/10,000th of an ounce. The bonsai tree had the nourishment cut off. It made a little tree only 18 inches tall. The General Sherman lived and grew in the sunshine, in the rain, and the minerals in the soil, and it grew to be a great giant. Ladies and gentlemen, I choose to be aware. Let's say that, will ya? I choose to be aware. One more time. I choose to be aware. God did not make you to be a failure. He made you to be aware. He made you to be successful. God sent His Son in this world to die for you. God sent His Holy Spirit in this world to empower your life, to give you power from trials and temptation, to give you joy, to give you strength to witness for, to live for. You were made to be a success. You were made to be a winner. Let's give God a great hand of praise. He gave you the best thing He had in heaven. Hallelujah. The best thing that you could possibly have. I wonder how many of you kids really want to be winners tonight. I want to be successful in my education. I want to be successful in my courtship and marriage. I want to be successful in my business or whatever God wants me to do. I want to be a successful minister. I want to be a successful youth pastor. I want to be a successful minister of music. I want to be a successful educational director. I want to be a successful nurse, a doctor, a lawyer, a rancher, a farmer, a plumber. I want to be a successful carpenter. I want to be a successful mechanic. I want to be a successful typist. I want to make good. I don't want to grow the stockpile of failures over here. I don't want to go over this crowd of popping pills and pushing needles and blowing glass and emptying bottles. That's failure. That's failure. There is an alcoholic in the world that started drinking at 12 years of age, and he said, oh, I'm drinking a little bit now, but just give me a few years, boy, and I'll be able to consume a fifth in one day. No kid started blowing marijuana. He said, I'm just getting started, but give me a couple of years, boy, and I'll be mainline. I'll tell you, I'll be sniffing cocaine, oh boy. I'll be popping the pills and pushing the needle. Just give me a couple of years. No kid ever started out like that, thinking that way. Oh, no, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a great big stockpile of failures in this world. Of one time that we're innocent and pure and clean and holy. Even your body tried to resent it. When you smoked the first cigarette, the body said, I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it. They said, you're going to get it, boy. Yes, sir, me. And then you cough and you heeze and it don't smell good. It tastes bad. You said, settle down, buddy. You're going to learn to smoke these cigarettes. And after a while, it got adjusted to it and said, okay, if you're going to force me, then I'll go ahead and adjust it. It got the craving of Dr. C. Oh, yeah, some people that I can quit smoking cigarettes anytime I want to. I quit 9 times on the head, Dr. C. Oh, no, I can leave it alone or I can take it. I can leave the bottle alone or I can take it. Oh, those kind of people take it. I don't say to leave it alone. I go wind up in a stockpile of failures. I want to be on the winning team. Amen. I want to be a winner for Jesus Christ. Glory to God. And I believe you can't be heroes. Hallelujah. It's the greatest crowd of kids I've ever talked to in my life. I mean that sincerely. Frank, didn't I tell you up here a moment ago, these kids are serious. These kids are serious. Amen, and I appreciate that. Tell you about Joe. This isn't a fictitious name. He's in Texas. He's real flesh and blood. Bone. Joe's dad died in a helicopter crash one day before he was to be shipped out of Vietnam. Joe could have a college education paid for, every expense from gym socks on up, and draw between $500 and $600 a month every month, with buddies from his father's outfit sending $200 and $300 and $400 a month to help their vows sunk in an education. But tonight, Joe is a pothead. He enrolled in my classes this fall, was a year ago, 2 years ago. Went a few days and dropped out. He said, I know my mistake. He enrolled in the spring, attended classes a few times and dropped out. This spring, he enrolled for the third time, attended a few classes and dropped out. He could train to be anything he wants, and every bit of it paid for, and draw money to live on. A failure. A failure. There's a boy in this audience here tonight, tomorrow night maybe, one night this week. He's going to tell you what a failure he was, but he's no longer a failure. He's a winner tonight. He's on God's side. And he's going to be in the He has the marks of failure. He'll take them to the grave with him.
Oh, I'm so proud of it. I'm so proud of it. He turned away from failure to success. God is blessing his life. I thank God for him. The moment we're going to come to the altar, we're going to stand around these altars and pray. I don't know if we have room to stand, all of us or not. We're going to come. I want you to look at your card, and I want you to keep that. I want you to keep it. When the devil tries to tell you your life isn't worth anything, you're sorry and no good, you might as well kid yourself, end it all, you're never going to amount to anything, get this card out and read it. I gave you the scriptures for it. If you don't remember them, come around and I'll tell them to you again. You tell the devil, yes, I am created in the image of God. Yes, I am important. Yes, I choose to be a winner. Keep that card. Keep it with you. And when you begin to feel low and worthless, somebody shouts out at you, you sorry outfit and whatever it might be, look at your card. I am important. Let's do it right now, if you don't mind. Let's look at that card and let's read all three lines. And then I want to do those three yeses at the bottom. Here we go. Yes, I am created in the image of God. Yes, I am important. Yes, I choose to be a